Good morning. Greet all of you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be gathered in the house of God with the saints of God. Bring you greetings from the Blue Ridge congregation. If you ever happen to need to travel through the Cumberland Valley, you're welcome to stop there and worship with us. It's good to see some familiar faces here. Some of you I've known since I was a child, and some of you I don't know, but that's all right. We can learn to know one another, but it's good to be here with God's people and worship with you. For a message this morning, you can turn to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to read a few verses partway through the chapter. I want to read verses 24 through 27. Matthew 16, 24 through 27. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now I've titled this message, taken from verse 24, the phrase, take up the cross. This past summer, my family had the opportunity to take a family trip to the Midwest, and it's always interesting to travel, see the countryside, especially if it's something new. And as we were traveling through central Illinois, around the town of Effingham, I believe it is, where Route 57 and Route 70 run together, there's a giant cross. Some of you have traveled that way might remember that. And you could see it for miles in either direction, a giant cross right along the highway. And it's something you almost can't miss it. We saw it going out, saw it coming back, and noticed a sign with a website related to that cross on it, and had my wife look it up and read some of the facts about that site, or about that cross. That cross was built by a group called the Cross Foundation in 2001. It stands 198 feet tall, and it's 113 wide. The cross beam is 113 wide. It's made with 180 tons of steel and 33 tons of steel footings in concrete. The foundation built the cross, built the giant cross to be a beacon of hope for the some 50-some thousand people who pass by each day on the highway. And several hours yet to get to Pennsylvania, so had some time to ponder. And this message is inspired by that musing and that cross. And I began to notice other small crosses. There was a hillside along the highway with some crosses on. There was a cross that marked the site of an accident. And we see crosses on church buildings. We see it on Christian literature. There's some religious groups that wear a cross on a necklace. Pilgrim website even includes the symbol of a cross in our logo. As I thought about this symbolism of the cross, what does it mean? What does the cross mean to us today? Well, Wikipedia says the Christian cross it's known as the instrument of crucifixion of Jesus, and it's the best known symbol of Christianity. So the symbol of the cross has come to symbolize the Christian faith or those that believe in Jesus. Anything to do with Christianity. Obviously, quite a wide scope there, but it's become a symbol of that. Today we associate with a belief in Christ and the salvation he provided by giving his life on the cross. And my mind was drawn to this chapter where he says, take up the cross. How does this verse, this phrase, Jesus' words, how does that fit with the symbolism of the cross we see today? Is it compatible? Is it the same thing? One key point we have to think about is when Jesus spoke this, he had not yet died on the cross. So he was not talking about his own cross where he died. He may have been referencing it, but he had not yet died on the cross, and so those he spoke to did not have that in mind. They did not yet know how he would die. So what did this statement mean to his listeners that day when he said to take up the cross? And so to understand this, it's helpful to explore what the cross meant to those people in that day, what the cross meant to the disciples as he spoke to them. And so I'd like to just do that. The cross in Jesus' day. At that time, Israel was under the rule of the Roman Empire. The Romans were a particularly cruel, ruthless people when it came to dealing with enemies and criminals. And they had perfected crucifixion as a means of executing those that were in the way. And they used it as one of the key reasons they used it was to deter others from committing the same crimes. It was specifically intended to cause a death that was slow, painful, gruesome, humiliating, and public. And so it was intentionally targeted as a public spectacle to deter other would-be wrongdoers. Crucifixions were done outside the city gate, typically in an area reserved for this purpose. The upright part of the cross was usually stationary, and the condemned was forced to carry the crossbeam often was forced to carry the crossbeam to the place of execution. And you can turn to John 19. I'd just like to look at what the Gospels say about this. John 19, there's a few verses there. And we know, we think about the story of Jesus and his crucifixion. We know he was carried his cross at least part of the way. John records this fact. John 19, verse 16 says, through 18. Then came the first saying, I'm in Luke. John 19. John 19, verse 16. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, two other with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. So there we have Jesus carrying his cross, carrying the crossbeam, a typical Roman execution. All the other Gospels, however, record that Simon was forced to carry Jesus' cross. If you go over to Matthew chapter 27 now, I just want to read Matthew's account of the crucifixion so we understand what it meant to those people in that day. When Jesus said, take up his cross, what was the symbolism? What came to their mind? And this is the picture they would have of someone carrying their cross and the result of that. 27, I want to start at verse 26 and read through verse 44. Then released he Barabbas unto them, talking about Pilate. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, They took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And when they had passed by, they reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. And so here you have a picture. This is Jesus' crucifixion, but this was not invented specifically for Jesus. This is the characteristics of a typical Roman execution. We see the mockery. They dressed him up like a king. They made fun of him. And that was typical of the Romans. They would dress up their victims and make fun of them. Then they would usually beat them, scourge them. We see the scourgings and the beatings. They would spit on him in utter contempt. We see the utter contempt, the mockery. Verse 26 and verse 30, we see the beatings. And it's thought that Jesus was beaten so severely that he collapsed under the weight of the cross. And therefore, Simon was compelled to carry his cross. Verse 37, we see them setting up an accusation over his head. And that was also typical of Roman executions. They would write the accusation of the accused and nail it to the cross to show what the crime they had committed. And again, they did not invent this just for Jesus. This was typical. They were accustomed to carrying out these cruel executions. One resource I found read about these crucifixions stated that in 73 through 71 BC, mass crucifixions followed some of the civil wars in Rome, with one incident where some 6,000 crucifixions were carried out. And so we see the Roman ruthlessness and this idea of the cross and what it meant to his disciples that day. When we consider this, it helps us understand, hopefully, a little more the phrase take up his cross, what it meant in the context that he said that. In that day, it wasn't a beacon of hope or a symbol of salvation. It was an instrument of death. To men of them, death, and death in the most despicable way. I believe Jesus used this, and he used this in other places too, this symbolism of taking up a cross, to teach his followers what it would mean, what it would cost to follow him. So what does it mean today? What does this phrase, taking up a cross, mean for you and me in 2022? If any man, the phrase if any man, wasn't just for the disciples that day, Jesus was speaking that for all who would come after, all those who would desire to follow Christ, all those who would be his followers. And so I want to dig into this phrase, into this verse, and try and discover what it means for us today. Sometimes we think that the trials, the tough things in life, the calamities we face in life that we go through as being a cross to bear, and they may be of sorts, but those things aren't particularly, they're not only for Christians. In other words, men around us face the same things. Our neighbors die of cancer and face car accidents and face all these things. These are things that are common to man, to life here. And so taking up a cross doesn't necessarily mean those things. Cross-bearing is much more than just the typical suffering native to the human race. Does it mean we need to physically die? Well, maybe. Those in history that have followed Christ have at times been called to die for Christ. But we don't necessarily need to physically die to take up our cross. Taking up the cross is a change of heart that Christ's followers must experience. You see, it's our sinful, selfish, natural man that must die before Jesus can perfect his work in our life. I decided to use verse 24 and take the phrases in that verse for the points. First point, if any man will. Again, this means the invitation is open. It means that if you desire to follow Christ, the word if implies a condition or requirement that something depends on. And so Jesus saying, if you desire this, if this is what you want to do, there's going to be some conditions, there's going to be requirements. Whoever it is, if any man, everyone, those who desire to follow Christ, there are conditions that need to be met. And these are Jesus' own words. This is Jesus speaking. And when Jesus speaks his words, we do well to pay attention to what he's saying. When he gives a requirement, there's no way around it. So if you want to follow Christ today, we must meet the conditions. Luke's version of this, Luke 14:27, says this, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And so cross-bearing is required. We cannot be a disciple if we don't bear the cross. And in this account, he was speaking to the great multitudes that followed him. These people knew what a Roman crucifixion was. These people were following him because of what they enjoyed. They enjoyed his miracles. They enjoyed I think this may have been even after he had fed 5,000 people. They enjoyed his teaching. They enjoyed being there. But he was teaching them that there was a cost to being a true disciple. And if they weren't willing to pay the price and follow after him, they could not be his disciple. Matthew 10, verse 38 says, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Just another different wording, but says the same thing. If we don't take the cross, we're not worthy. Do you want to be worthy of Jesus? Do you want his presence and blessing? And if we want these things, if we want to be worthy, if we want his presence and blessing, if we want to be a disciple, we have to take up the cross. Taking up the cross is required of those who would be Jesus' disciples. Second point, deny himself. And it's interesting that Jesus puts this phrase, this point about self-denial ahead of taking up his cross. You see, taking up the cross requires denying self. And I mentioned before, our sinful nature must die. In our sinful state, we are opposed to Christ. Our selfish nature, the things that I want to do, the desires of the flesh, my own way of thinking, my wants, my wishes, my desire to promote myself, that selfish nature that just wants to rise up and be out there, those things are opposed to Christ. And if we are to take up the cross, take up what God wants us to, that needs to go first. Self must be denied if we're to take up the cross. It must, as it were, be nailed to the cross and executed. If we do not deny self, we will not be able to take up the cross, because self and cross-bearing do not coexist. Luke 9, verse 23, "And he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And that's Luke's version of this. The key word I like out of there is daily. Luke is the only one that says daily. Take up his cross daily. It'd be nice if it'd be a once and done thing, where I deny myself, I take up my cross, and then we're on our way. But self desperately wants to live. It wants to come back. It wants to show itself. It wants to be given space. And so it's a daily choice to deny self and take up the cross. We must deny self to be Jesus' disciple. Third point, take up the cross. And this is our core phrase. So several sub-points under this. Several characteristics that help us define what this cross, taking up the cross, means. What does this really mean for you and me today? Well, first of all, it's an action word. So we have the word take. It's not a passive word, it's an action word. It's something we must do. We must voluntarily pick up the cross of Christ, the cross that Christ asked his disciples to bear. It's a conscious choice that we must take, conscious choice we must make. It's not forced on anyone. Christ does not force this on anyone. He simply says, if you follow me, you must do this. You know, we can do a lot of right things. We can be good citizens of the United States and fit into our country, our local communities. We can even be good representations of our Mennonite culture. And we can make sure all these things are good and in place and are not bad. But if we haven't making the conscious choice to voluntarily take up the cross, we're still not a disciple. Have you and I voluntarily taken up the cross? It's an action we must take to be a disciple of Christ. Next subpoint is submission. So the criminal on his way to execution in the Roman world had been brought under total submission. There was no more option for him to do whatever he wanted. He did not decide where he went. He did not decide what he wanted to do, but he had been brought under total submission and he had to do whatever the Romans commanded him. And so we must submit to Christ and his work in our lives. There's no option to do but whatever the Lord commands. It must no longer be my will that is done, but God's. And we find God's will something that's a lifelong pursuit, possibly, to find the will of God and what it means in our specific situation. But as we pursue that and desire to learn God's will, we find it. We find it by learning from his word. He's given us his word through the prompting of the Spirit and through input of other believers. And as we find his will, we must submit to it. Because cross-bearing, taking up the cross, requires submission to Christ and his will for my life. The third sub-point I have is identity. So this criminal on the way to the execution, the person carrying his cross, there was no doubt in anyone's mind what his status was. He was a criminal. He was clearly identified as a criminal. He had been condemned, whether justly or unjustly. It mattered no more. He was identified as someone destined to die. There was no doubt in anyone's mind what that person carrying that cross beam, who he was or what his destiny was. And so you and I must identify with Christ. Cross-bearing, taking up the cross, means that we identify as followers of Christ. Do you and I identify with Jesus? Is there any doubt in the minds of those around you, your family, your friends, those you meet? Is there any doubt who you identify with? Do you identify as a cross-bearing disciple of Jesus? Or alternatively, if we don't, do we appear to be part of the mocking, ruthless crowd of Romans who oppose the very Son of God? And so this touches the way we live. Do we live in a way that indicates we are bearing the cross of Christ? Do the material things we possess, our businesses, our farms, our houses, our vehicles, our appearance, the activities we involve ourselves in, our speech, our attitudes, our associates, our friends, our recreation, our hobbies, do they indicate that we are carrying the cross of Christ? And so often we are tempted to have our identity in these things. My vehicle, when you're a young person, our identity is too closely attached to my vehicle. Well, you get past that stage and then it's your house, your business, your farm, your friends group. And so often we care so much about our identity. We can be tempted to have our identity wrapped up in all these things. And while these things aren't wrong, do those things show that we are identifying with Christ? And again, this is a probably a lifelong search and a refining process, that we don't let our self-centered, self-promoting nature show itself in these things. Our identity should be clear in all areas of life. We need to identify with Christ to take up the cross, and it will be a result. If we truly take up the cross as Christ desires us to, it will change our identity. It will impact our identity. The fourth one, suffering. The criminal carrying his cross was a suffering person. He was suffering from the beating, the scourging, and the weight of the cross, the humiliation, and the cruelty of the crucifixion. Suffering for Christ can take on various forms, and in our situation, in our land that we live in, we suffer very little. We suffer very little for Christ. Some have suffered physical death for the faith. Some have suffered a lot of different things. Would we be willing to suffer these things if called to do that? We most likely won't be, but it's possible. However, suffering is not only physical suffering. We face more suffering from mockery and scorn for being faithful followers of Christ. As the world about us normalizes sin, and we see that happening, normalizing sin and alternative lifestyles and pushing for tolerance, we may face opposition for standing on the truth. Are we willing to bear that suffering? Are we willing to bear the opposition for standing on truth? And one pressure we face today is real today is the mixing of truth with error. There's so much truth, partial truth out there, and we have to be careful. It can even invade our own thinking. Truth and error get mixed. And we see those that are departing from truth, mixing those things, and we can be labeled as narrow-minded or ridiculous for what we stand for. And this may even touch close home. It can be in our families, our friends. But the mixing of truth and error, are we willing to suffer for standing for truth? Suffering is part of cross-bearing. Taking up the cross means choosing to bear the cross. It means identifying with Christ. It means submitting to him and being willing to suffer. Now, in this verse, the next point is follow me. What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? A person who takes up his cross then is commanded to follow Christ. Well, someone who follows someone else, they tend to copy their behavior. They tend to follow what they do. They admire that person. They want to be like that person. They have esteem for the choices and the actions and the things they do. Think about a young boy or even a young girl who admires their father or mother, and they will try to copy or do the things you do, or they'll follow you around to see what you're doing next and ask you questions and be involved, and they're intrigued by what you do. They're following you. So it is for us, those of us who want to be a disciple of Christ. We need to follow Christ. We need to follow what Christ teaches us. We need to make that real in our own lives. We deny self and take up the cross. We are then prepared to follow Christ. We seek to live as Christ taught. We learn to practice his, we learn his commandments and put them into practice. And there's a lot of things we can follow today. There's a lot of things that we can be interested in, that we can put our desire to follow something in. There's sports, there's hobbies, there's politics, there's wealthy people, there's influencers, there's technology. But we need to stop and carefully consider what we're following. It's interesting, the whole social media world, the technology world, a lot of those platforms are built around how many followers they can get. And so you have these influencers who build up a following. Let's be careful who we're following. Following Christ is a requirement of discipleship and will be a result of true cross-bearing. Now, lest this message seems mostly negative, I want to look at the rest of these verses that we read, and our flesh can tend to recoil at this idea of denying self, taking up a cross, following Christ. It's not native to us, and it can seem like mostly negative. And self must die. There's nothing pleasant about that. Taking up the cross, being willing to follow Christ. But it has its rewards. And I want to just go back to verses 25 and through 27 and look at what Jesus says here. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. We find life. We find true life. We find the freedom from the guilt and penalty of sin. We find peace, we find strength to live life, and we gain everlasting life. Cross-bearing Christians find life. Taking up your cross, and Christ will give you life. And he goes on to say, he reasons with us here, with his disciples. He says, for what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? When you put those two side by side, what good is it if you gain and you profit and you have all these things and yet you lose your own soul? You lose eternal life. What gain is it if you live selfishly, you're able to gain earthly possessions, you gain recognition, you have earthly security, but you lose your soul for eternity? Is there anything worth exchanging for your soul? What would be worth selling your soul for? And he says here, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And so the question is for you and me this morning, is there any way that we can buy the security of our soul? And what are we willing to exchange for our soul? Nothing we gain here can be used to purchase eternal life or is worth missing eternal life. And while we lose, in a sense, we lose our life by taking up the cross and denying self, it's the only way to gain eternal life. And so this morning, as we look at this, taking up the cross, I just want to inspire us to sincerely do this, to deny ourselves, to take up the cross, and to gain life. If we desire to be a disciple of Jesus, we must take up the cross. First, we deny ourselves. Then we make a conscious choice to take up the cross, submit to him, identify with Christ, be willing to suffer for him if need be, and follow his commandments. While we lose our lives now, we can gain life for eternity. May God bless you. Let's pray.